The board faced a series of dueling proposals with subsistence users, including the Sitka tribe of Alaska, on one side, and commercial herring seiners on the other. One proposal from the Sitka tribe would have cut the harvest level for the commercial fishery, while one from the Southeast Herring Conservation Alliance, an industry group, would have cut the amount necessary for subsistence users. The Sitka tribe asked to expand the area closed to commercial fishing, while the Saners asked to do away with the closed waters altogether. And while the tribe proposed banning any fishery until the minimum threshold had been met for 5 years in a row, the Saners proposed lowering that threshold. In the end, the board took a Goldilocks approach. Orville Huntington spoke for many board members when he said he didn't want to impose more mandates of any kind on the biologists who manage the fishery.
So I'm really reluctant to take the best science we have out there right now and make it more rigid. Because what happens is when you restrict science, only bad things come of it.
That was the theme for the afternoon. Board members repeatedly praised the Sitka Sound Sacro herring fishery as perhaps the best managed fishery in the state, and said they didn't want to tie the hands of the Department of Fish and Game. But board members did express concern about recent declines. The biomass forecast for the Sitka Sound herring this spring is the lowest in a decade, and it's not the first below average year, as Fish and Game's Sherry Dressel explained.
So it hasn't been a chronic problem, but 2011, 12, and then 14 have been lower than they have been for the last 10, 15 years or so.
Board member Sue Jeffrey of Kodiak asked whether that was cause for concern or just a normal fluctuation. Dressel said she saw no reason for alarm.
You know, we definitely take notice any time that it's low, and we definitely have, but at this point, I think it would be premature to say that this is a pattern that we expect will continue.
Board member Fritz Johnson of Dillingham asked Dressel to address public testimony from subsistence users, warning that herring populations are far below historic levels. Dressel said she couldn't speak to numbers before the department started tracking the population in the 1960s, and there's no agreement on how many herring swam in Sitka Sound in the early 20th century. But, she said, she can speak to the present.
So, if the department is the scientific consensus, then no, we do have consensus that the population is not depressed. It is, at the moment, twice the size of threshold, so I would not call that depressed.
Still, board members said the trend of the last couple years made them reluctant to take any steps to loosen protections. But they also weren't willing to tighten restrictions. At its last two meetings on herring in 2009 and 2012, the board raised the threshold required for a fishery and closed some waters to the commercial fleet. Chair Tom Kluberton said those decisions were prompted by worries that current models aren't great at predicting sudden population declines. But any more restrictions could harm the commercial sacro fishery, he said. Speaking after the meeting, Sitka Tribal Council member Harvey Kitka said that though the tribe's proposals were voted down, he felt subsistence users had gotten the board's attention.
We tried real hard to convince them that this was really the last viable stock of subsistence herring eggs in Alaska, and they need to take a little better care of it.
The board was intrigued by a proposal to open a pound fishery in Sitka Sound. In pound fisheries, herring spawn on kelp within a net enclosure. The fish then leave the net and the kelp with eggs is sold. The board voted to postpone action on that proposal until the statewide meeting in March 2016 and will draft a letter in support of the concept. In Sitka, I'm Rachel Waltholz.